Hold on, guys. You don't have to turn the music down because I'm here. She goes, yes, we do. We all need prayer. In the bar. So they came out from their stools and we joined hands and we prayed in Jesus' name. The next time I came to the bar, it's loaded up with people. Music's not real loud. I delivered my ice. I had a little bit of time because I do my job quick to make sure it's efficient, make sure I never let my job slack. I have to keep up production with the other guys that I told that I'm a Christian, that I'm a guy that walks with the Lord. And with everybody at my job, every time they would like not be there, I would get to deliver on their route. And people would get healed at their regular route. And then when they came back to their job, the people would say, where's that guy that prayed for us? Will you pray for us? No, I'm not going to pray for you. They would get mad. But it was a good thing. Man, you got to stop doing this. Are you kidding me? I love the Lord. I can't stop. I don't belong to me. I belong to him now. So they were like, this ain't right. And they like kind of rebelled against me. It doesn't matter. I love them. And when each one of them were hurting in any area, they would come to me privately. And I would speak truth into their life and love them. But when they were around each other, they'd mock and scoff. And I didn't rebuke them or be mad. I said, you guys are funny, man. I love you guys. Bless you. Have a great day, I'd say. Come on, man. It's important that you never allow the enemy to see any kind of terrified. Because my enemy's not them. My enemy's what's in and upon them. My war is not against people. It's against principalities. And I know that if they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they'd never talk like that. So my war is not against them. I know that because now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I'd never talk like that. It's good. So I go into the bar. There's people sitting at their seats and stuff. I go up to the one guy on the corner because I had a word about his back. I said, hey, man, I said, you got problems with your back? I said, one of your legs is like way short. He goes, yeah. He goes, I had surgery and they removed part of his bone in his femur. So he actually has a horse that he goes away and they ride horses. He has the foot thing like another notch or another two notches up because of how short his leg is. So I say to him, I said, well, dude, I said, I've come in here and many people have gotten healed. He goes, I don't believe in that stuff. And the bartender said, you ought to because it's real. Keep in mind, her knee got healed. And other people have been healed, and God has touched people. And people talk, especially at a bar. It's good, man. So I said to him, I said, come on, man, let me pray for your leg. And he made a derogatory comment because I was talking about his leg being lengthened, and he made a derogatory comment about something that he shouldn't have. And just was really just, you know, tried to throw a wrench in there to deter me. I said, that's funny. Let me see your feet. I'm on the ground on my knees. Let me see your feet. So he goes, all right. He gives me his feet. I said, come on, guys. Look at this man's leg right now. He doesn't believe that Jesus can grow it out. How many of you believe that? I don't know, man. Smoking and drinking. Or... Watch. In Jesus' name, leg grow. Came right out. I said, what do you think of that? Isn't Jesus amazing? And the guy, like, was speechless. You know what he did? Put his drink down on the counter, and he looked at me and he goes, hey, man, I'm sorry. So you don't got to be sorry, dude. I love you. And I gave him a big hug. I told him how amazing he was to God. The Holy Spirit convicted him. I didn't. Do you have any idea how free this is to live this way? It's not unattainable. It's very available. You guys are starting to really see how available it is. Just by stepping out, just a little bit, it's, oh, God, oh, and it's only the beginning. You have no idea where you're going to be in a month. It's ridiculous because you like talking to people anyway. That's great. It's amazing. God's just going to go, wham. It's so good. Okay, so it never depends upon where a person is for God to move and touch them. Be very careful. We can't say, look, John the Baptist was the first person on the scene in 400 years before there was no revelation. Love you, dude. Sorry, man. I know. Tell your wife I said, hey. All right. He's a solid young man. Your boy is solid. He has a beautiful heart, man. Big time. Really. Good daddy and a great husband. So John the Baptist is the first person on the scene in 400 years. There wasn't a voice from God. John comes to prepare the way. Jesus comes. He's the first. He's the second voice because John was the first voice. But he was there to prepare the way of Jesus. Not a voice from God. Do you think that maybe somebody was bitter and in unforgiveness? Maybe. Since there wasn't a voice from God in 400 years, do you think that somebody was in unforgiveness somewhere? Did Jesus ever address it at all? Jesus healed everyone that came to him, and never once did he address that stuff. But we think that if somebody's in unforgiveness, that God can't heal them. Because we've been taught theologically that has to happen or they can't be healed. I beg to differ. I've seen many, many hundreds of people that are in bitter unforgiveness healed, and then God bring it to their attention, hey, this needs to go. So don't think because they're not forgiving and then they're angry or bitter that God can't touch them. Understand that it's the goodness of God that brings someone to repentance. Don't try to address and nail that. If God gives you a word of knowledge where you have a specific prophetic word, like I've gotten it, I've been in front of somebody, I've prayed and nothing, and they're not, nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden God will say a word. Like I was in front of a lady and I said, I keep hearing the word Ken. And I prayed one time and I didn't see any breakthrough. And I kept getting this word and I couldn't like not think about it. And I said, who's Ken? She goes, what? She goes, I can't believe you just said that. She goes, my ex-husband, he hurt me horribly. So we shared of what her war not being against people. And she, like, her heart, I didn't ask her to say, I forgive Ken. I didn't ask her to say that. But in the midst of sharing that, her body was made whole. That's awesome. Don't go fishing to try to find reasons why they're not. Just pursue love. And allow the goodness of God to bring them to repentance. I know there are deliverance ministries out there that I know specific people that are well-known people that would highly disagree with what I'm telling you right now. But I've walked this out through a personal experience and I've seen probably 1,000 people in that situation made whole, and then God will bring it up and will make it go. Do not use it as a formula. Well, they need to do this in order to get this. No, it's mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God's a merciful God. He sees that that hurt them, but he wants to give them an experience of his goodness so that that can get out of there. Because it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. Come on, that's really good. It is. You might have been taught opposite, but I promise you that's the Bible. It is. You okay? I'm seeing real quietness right now, and I'm seeing lots of stuff going. Because we've been taught stuff, and it's established itself as doctrine up here. But Jesus didn't preach it. He did say, unless you forgive others, my Father won't forgive you. But if they can't realize the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, they'll never come to a place where they even realize that they're forgiven, let alone to forgive. All right? Okay. Let's kill some more devils. It's good. Okay. Who here has heard that you're not supposed to lay hands on people hastily? You don't lay hands on people too quick, right? You got to be very careful about who you pray for. It doesn't say these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick. That is, if first they check with me, and the sick will recover, that's not in there. But biblically, in Timothy, it says, do not lay hands on people hastily, not on the sick, but on people, because it's for ordaining people into leadership. Do not put people into a leadership office too quickly, because if they fall, you partake in their sin. So when you put somebody into leadership, into office, you're responsible for them. So what happens is, he's saying, don't lay hands ordaining somebody into office too quick, because if they're not ready, you partake in their fall. has nothing to do with praying for the sick. You can't tell me that I could pray for somebody and that what they have inside of them has the ability to jump on me. Whatever, dude. That's trash. Greater is he that's in me. I'm not going to get slime when I approach a witch. I want to hug them and love on them. What's in me is getting on them because what's in me is dominant. One person in Christ is greater than a million demons. One person in Christ is the majority. No matter where you are, if you're in Christ, you're dominant. Why? Because God's for you, not against you. Greater is he that's in you than around you, than in this world. If we don't have that confidence and we don't have that built up, we will live far less than what God created you to be. He created you to be a son. He created you to be a joint heir. He created you to have everything that Jesus relied fully and completely upon to further the kingdom in every way. Everything that Jesus relied upon is yours. Everything. He didn't hold anything back from you. It's all yours. You can have as much of God as you're willing to give up yourself to get. You can have as much of God as you're willing to lay your life down to have. Because you can't be in this thing. It's not 80% God, 20% me. That 20% you will be 25, 30, 35, 40. Before you know it, you're living a life of a full-blown compromise. You can't hold anything back. This thing is a sellout all, or don't come. Don't do it. That's why I said about North Korea. When they come to God, they know they're probably going to die for what they just did. They sell it all out. Nothing else matters. Jesus, you're everything. And that's where we need to be. You know what it says? If you don't hate your wife, your brother, your mother, your father, your sisters, even your own kids, you cannot be my, and your own self, you cannot be my disciple. It says that. Hate. Wow, that's strong. Say, God, what is that? Well, that's easy. If you don't love me most, you can't love your wife more. It doesn't mean disrespect and dishonor. It means if I'm not everything and you don't love me with all you are, first commandment, you cannot love your neighbor as yourself. Because you can't perfectly love people unless you walk in the perfect love of God. Come on, man. It's really good. It's a wake-up call. Man, there is no, this thing is like full bore or none. It's all or none. Run or don't. Jesus said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Why? You know, Leif Hetland, anybody know him? He's amazing. He does the three chairs. You ever seen the three chairs? He was doing the three chairs. I just did a conference with him down in Jacksonville. Leif is doing the three chairs, and he's up there. Your chair number one is the spirit-filled life where you're on fire for God. What he says matters. You do it. That's just what you do. Chair number two is the chair that, like, yes, you believe. You know, it's just chair number two and then chair number three. Chair number three is the guy that doesn't believe, a non-believer. Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or cold. And God showed me the three chairs are exactly what he said. I'm like, well, what's that? So, well, chair number one is hot. And when you're hot, you only get hotter. But chair number three is cold. And like a light switch, I can flick you on to make you hot immediately. But when you're lukewarm, you damage everyone around you. It's full of compromise, full of self, full of comfort. God gave you the comforter because he knew you were going to be uncomfortable. We don't have the comforter just so we can go to church. We have the comforter because he knew, boy, this one's going to make him feel real uncomfortable. He's going to need this. Come on, it's real. So chair number two is a lukewarm. And lukewarm means you're damaging to everyone around you. Because there's no like lukewarm. This thing is full bore or none, dude. Come on, this is real. You all right? Yeah? Not really. So much that the smiles are very, very small right now. I'm not being mean and I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you a reality. This thing is all or none, man. Get in the game. Christianity is a full contact sport. Engage. You don't have to do this, guys. You get to. You don't have to go out and pray for people. You get the privilege of doing it. Whew. Come on, you are. He's allowing you. Okay, you can. All right, one more thing, and then we'll be done. Are you guys all right? You need to get up and stretch? Anybody needs bathroom? I'm only going to hit one more thing. It'll probably take me about 10 minutes. You all right? Okay. All right. We've sometimes allowed people's unbelief to trump our belief. Where we think that somebody's unbelief is more powerful in a situation if unbelief outnumbers the belief. And where that stems from is a teaching about Jesus going to his hometown. When Jesus went to his hometown and he taught in the synagogue, and it says that he could do no mighty works there, no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. And Satan has painted a picture that when Jesus was in his hometown, he couldn't heal anybody because their unbelief trumped his belief. But that's not what happened. How many people have been in a situation where you've wanted someone to be healed, but everybody's negative, and you figured because they're negative, it just didn't happen? It happens all the time. Be in a hospital room, you pray for somebody, and there's all kinds of negativity. And then you're like, and you walk away, and you're like, man, maybe they would have got healed if everybody would have probably been positive. Seriously. So Jesus preached in his hometown, and they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Wait a minute, aren't his brothers and his sisters, aren't they among us? Where did this man get these things? Come on, let's get out of here. They rejected him and they turned their backs on him. So tell me this, that somebody brought a paralytic to Jesus in his hometown, laid him in front of him, and they tried to like set him up, and Jesus looks at the paralytic and he says, arise. And the paralytic stays there. And they says, I said, arise. And the paralytic just stays there. And then finally he says, arise. And he doesn't. And Jesus looks at everybody and says, come on, guys, get some faith. Maybe he'd be healed. I'm out of here. That's not what happened. They rejected him. They turned their backs on him. And they didn't bring anybody to him. And he still healed a few sick people on the way out. They rejected him. You tell me right now that you being in a place of unbelief, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that you being in a place of unbelief, Jesus walks up in a place, prays for a paralytic, and you being in unbelief would stop that man from getting up. Absolutely not, man. Come on, let's not lower Jesus, dude. He's amazing. Did he ever touch anybody and it didn't happen? He might have touched him twice, but it always happened, right? 100%, man. The man with the withered hand was brought to Jesus in the synagogue. He's brought to Jesus, and they guinea pig this guy. They bring him up to him, and they say, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus said, which one of you who loses a sheep or loses an oxen or loses an animal falls into the pit on the Sabbath wouldn't reach in and grab that thing out? So he points out the simplicity of this thing. How much more important is this son of Abraham than an animal? Stretch forth your hand. Who had faith to heal the man? Jesus. The man at the pool, the man at the porches. Jesus prayed for him, out of there. He's out. He healed him, he gets out quick. The man's walking through the temple with his mat. And the Pharisees freak out and they say, you know it's unlawful to carry your mat on the Sabbath. He said, the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. Who healed you? I don't know. Who had faith to heal the man? The man didn't even know who Jesus was. Come on, think about that with me. Who had faith? The man didn't have faith to be healed. Jesus did. And the guy didn't even know who it was when he came, when he went through. I have no idea who it was. He was speechless, see, because the man did not remember who did it. Come on, they're at the funeral procession. They're bringing the boy in the casket, and he's coming through. And Jesus stops the funeral by doing what? Puts his hand on the coffin. Right now, he's unclean through the law. He's unclean. Guaranteed, people are freaking out because Jesus put his hand on the coffin. He spoke to that boy, and that boy got up. Who had faith? The boy? I'm bringing the responsibility of the healing prayer back to the believing believer, guys. We can't have any of this stuff shooting for territory. We have to have this stuff crushed so we can only think like Jesus thought. It is. I am willing. Get up. I am willing. Be clean. Rise to your feet. Look, when Jairus' daughter was dead and all the mourners were there, they were mourning, they were playing the flutes, Jesus, we're taught that Jesus had to remove them out of the way for Jairus' daughter to get up. We paint a picture like Jesus went to the place, he prayed for the little girl, and the flutes are doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Jesus prayed for her and said, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Okay, hold on. You, and you, get out of here. Little girl, that's good. We teach it like that. The mourners were hired professionals. Jesus said, you're not needed. You guys can go. She's only sleeping. He didn't have to get them out of the way so he could move. He just told them to leave because they were hired and they weren't needed anymore. But we teach that he had to get them out of the room for there to be faith. You can't tell me that Jesus' faith wouldn't dominate everybody else's. Come on, that's weird. Let's not lower the Son of God, okay? Huh? That is awesome. Because honestly, we've been taught that stuff, and that limits us. It stops us from walking in faith because we think all this stuff plays into it. None of it plays into anything except for the heart of God for the person you're praying for. Come on, this is real. It's really good. This stuff just knocks out all the lies to where you can walk in a pure heart. Where none of that stuff, Satan brings an accusation. Well, you know, you shouldn't do it here. God's not going to do it here. He brings an accusation. You better be careful. They're new age. That stuff might get on you. And you just say, greater is he that's in me. That's crazy. I love talking to new age people. I love grabbing their hand. Do you have any new age people up here in this area? Then do this. Go up to them and say, hey, listen, let me see your hand. Father, I thank you. Show them. Jesus' name. And look at them and say, what do you see? Whoa. What an aura. I am promising you, it's real. Because they see that stuff. I've had people where I've prayed for them where they've actually seen Jesus. Seen a cross, have no idea what it even is. We got to really just like get all this stuff out so we can just be free, man, to love people. Come on, this is good, right? So we cannot allow someone's unbelief to dominate our belief. We can't allow someone's negative words to trump the positivity that Jesus says about them. We can't allow where somebody is wrapped up in sin and occult practices to determine whether God wants to move and touch them. Because greater is God's love for them than the deception that they're in. So we have to walk with the compassionate heart of God to love people. This is good news. Amen? Amen. All right. I don't know what you want to do, what your plans are, how you want to go about it, but I'm finished.
You're finished?
I am.